والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، O Ali, in you there is a similarity to Jesus, son of Mary. Last night we discussed one of the similarities between Prophet Jesus alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam was that at one point or at one stage or another they were worshipped as God. The second similarity that exists between Prophet Isa and Imam Ali alayhi salam is the fact that they had disciples who were very close to them, disciples who studied under them, disciples who were ready at different points in their life to spread their word, their name, and their message. A disciple is normally defined as a pupil or a follower. Normally, if a teacher, for example, is proud of his student, he'll say that that student is my disciple. If somebody, for example, is proud of a sports star that they produce, they'll say that that's my disciple, that's my follower, that's someone who's taken my lessons and my advice on board. In the Arabic language, there is a specific term that the Quran uses for the disciple. It's not, for example, talib or tilmidh, which we'd normally associate with a pupil, which is normally translated in English as a student. Nor is it something higher, where someone who gives a bit more from themselves, like a khadim or a murid. These are higher levels of gratitude to a teacher. But you find that in the Quran, the word for a disciple is normally associated with Jesus, son of Mary. And that is the word hawari. The hawari are those who are seen as being alongside the Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. In the Quran, sometimes you read Hawariyin or Hawariyun. Al-Hawariyin or Hawariyun is the term that is used for the disciples of Jesus. Normally, the disciples of Jesus we mention as 12. Of course, there are more disciples of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. One may argue that there could have been thousands of disciples of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. At one stage you see 12, another you see 70, another you see thousands. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi on one occasion was asked the question, how many imams are there after you? You see this particular hadith in Shi'i literature, and in non-Shi'i literature it comes with different terms. How many amirs, how many khalifas, how many naqibs are there after you? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, replies the same as the number of the chieftains of Moses and the number of the disciples of Isa, Jesus alayhi salam. The chieftains of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, we see in the Quran, when the Quran talks of Ithnay Ashar Naqib, that the Quran mentions that there are 12 chieftains of Moses. And likewise, therefore, when it comes to the disciples of Jesus, Christians will also come forward and normally mention 12 disciples. They'll mention, for example, names such as Judas a couple of times, James a couple of times. You'll see the mentioning of, for example, Peter, Simon, Thomas, Andrew, Philip. These are all alongside Bartholomew and Martin known as the 12 disciples of Jesus. These disciples were the ones who were meant to be his most loyal at all times, because a disciple recognizes that when they found their master teacher, they're going to be in for good times and in for bad. If they want to give their all to this teacher, especially if this teacher is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if this teacher is one of the awliya, one of the chosen saints of God on earth, you're going to have people who love that person, but there's going to be a time where that person's rhetoric is going to bring about hate from certain people, because that person is going to try and change the status quo, for example, of the Romans at the time, for example, of the Jewish leaders at the time. So you're going to have to be ready for a barrage of abuse. You're going to have to be ready for bullying tactics. And you're literally going to have to be ready for the sword, possibly against you. If you read the traditions concerning the disciples, you'll see that in Sunni and Shia literature, there is always a discussion that every prophet had a group of Hawari alongside him. So it wasn't just the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. There is no way a prophet of God could live on this earth unless he has a group of disciples next to him. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam by himself was an ummah, no doubt. But still you needed Ismail, you needed Ishaq. You cannot deny that you may even need your family to be your disciples. But even more of a blessing is that people from outside of your family circles, a Judas or a Peter or a Simon or a Thomas or a Bartholomew or a James, if these people come towards you and are willing to spread your message, because for some disciples, the idea was if Jesus, son of Mary, is a representative of God, representative of the eternal. As we said yesterday, John 17:3, the eternal is spoken of, and the fact that Jesus is sent is spoken of. So similar to what we believe, Jesus, when he gives a message, these disciples would go into different parts of Asia Minor. They'd go towards, for example, let's say Syria. They go towards Turkey. They go towards Lebanon. They go with the idea that they're going to spread the word of God, knowing that there's a good chance a group of pagans maybe hate them for it. Anyone who studies the missionary work of Christianity will see that the disciples knew very well that there was a chance they could be sword. When I say sword, in Arabic we say minshar. Minshar, or the sword, literally amongst the disciples, there were those who were sword to death. There were those who were beheaded. There were those who were attacked because of their love for their leader. The beautiful thing is when you examine Jesus and Imam Ali alayhim as-salam, you'll find that both had disciples, both of whom were ready to spread their word. But the question arises, which of these disciples were loyal to their leader in every way, and which one of them at times would have been sold over? Let's tonight examine the disciples of Jesus according to Islam and the disciples of Imam Ali alayhis salam according to Islam. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, we said that the word Hawariyin or Hawariyun or Al-Hawari is meant to define disciple. But why this word? And what are the different opinions as to why God used this word in particular? Number two, were these people prophets of Allah as well? Is there a possibility that they were messengers alongside Jesus? Or were they like imams who were following the message of Jesus and spreading his word? Number three, in Surah Yasin, which verses does Allah use as an example? The people of the city when we sent messengers to them. And which disciples of Jesus, including the one that Shi'ism reveres the most, known as Simon, how pivotal was he in this story? Number four, were all the disciples of Jesus on the same level? Are all the disciples of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same level? Are all the disciples of any prophet on the same level, or are there differences between them? Number five, who were the disciples of the prophet, peace be upon him, his family? And why does Ammar bin Yasir not make it on the list? Number six, who were the disciples of Imam Ali alayhi salam? How loyal were they to him? And how were some of them ready to be beheaded and executed for their love of the Imam? On a night like this, which ones of them are alive with him while he's injured? And which ones of them are passed away? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. Many times, unfortunately, the Muslim community has very little knowledge of Jesus in general, but his disciples in particular leaves a lot to be desired. The reality is, when God mentions these disciples, they are all lessons for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why would he include the Hawari of Isa in the Quran unless they were a lesson for all of us? As in, sometimes we imagine the only lessons we can learn are from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was the one who wanted us to learn from these Hawari. Someone says the Hawari, why this word? Originally, one opinion was that Hawari comes from whitening or bleaching. They, the disciples of Jesus, used to try and purify their clothing as much as they want. Allah loves those who are purified physically as well as spiritually. There are people in the world today, spiritually, they are impure, but physically they use the best shampoos, the best deodorants, the best conditioners, the best moisturizers. There's no point spiritually being dirty and physically being clean. Spiritually, you want to be someone who always thinks good of others, the best of others, someone who works as part of a team, not as an individual, someone who doesn't look for themselves to always be the best, but everybody around them to be good as well. So you find here that they wanted to be on the first level physically pure. They would bleach their clothes as much as they can until it becomes as white as it would be. So if they went out to represent the religion, they don't go out stinking. As if you're now someone who represents the religion, and when people hug you, you smell curry all over you, smell garlic all over you, onion all over you, they smell body odor all over you. No one wants to be near such people. If you see somebody who's got a dishdasha or an abaya and it's all stains everywhere, then people will say, but you're meant to be our role model, as our Prophet, peace be upon him, his family would say, and nadhafatu min al iman, purity or cleanliness is part of iman, not just salah and sawm. If you're going to be someone who prays all the time but your clothes are dirty, Allah wants that a person takes their zina when they go to the masjid, their finest of their garments. So on the one hand, the idea was that hawari or hawar comes from whitening, and whitening or bleaching of the clothes. On the other hand, no, it took the second meaning, whitening of the heart, purity of their hearts. That they were the type who tried to purify their hearts as much as they can, because they were in the middle of a disease. The children of Israel, literally at that time, were a disease. Otherwise, why would God send Jesus if everything's going well? Otherwise, if everything was going well, Nabi Isa doesn't need to come. Moses, commandments, David, Torah, message. Why the need for Isa, son of Mary? Nabi Musa came with the law. Isa came with the spirit of law. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi came with the fusion of the two. Nabi Isa came with the spirit of the law. If I, for example, now see that there's a girl in our community, and that girl in our community has come ziyara with us, and a little bit of her hair is showing in the ziyara trip, do I jump on her and cover her? Do I tell her, how dare you show some hair? Or do I say to her, sister, just a small reminder that if you can, try and cover a bit better. You see the difference? One has taken law, haram, there's some hair showing. Another says with advice, maw'idha hasana, ad'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal maw'idhatil hasana, wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Nabi Isa inculcated a group of disciples, inculcated within them this group, that you should look for love in the way you talk. Be pure in the way that you guide. Don't guide people while you have malice in your heart as a vendetta in the message that you're giving. There are many out there who are preachers, many who are disciples of disciples of disciples. But when they give a message, the message doesn't come from a pure heart. It comes from hasad. It comes from hiqid. It comes from a lot of jealousy. Rather, Nabi Isa said, if you're going to go to Turkey, or you go to Asia, or you go to Lebanon, you go to Jerusalem, wherever you go, you want to spread my word? Spread it with love. Have that whiteness in the way that you spread that message. And by the way, such personalities, they're a dime a dozen. They rarely come. Most of the preachers in any religion, most of them, what they're giving you as a message comes with an agenda. Either an agenda politically between them and other preachers, between their mosque and other mosques, between their imam barga and other imam bargas. No one thing that sometimes when you see trouble in a community, there's always a preacher behind that trouble. Always one who, unfortunately, they have the ilm, but the hikmah is not there. What does a disciple do? The third meaning of the hawari, what is it? The third meaning is hiwar. Allah. Hiwar means discussion and dialogue. They used to love discussing with their Prophet. They used to love sitting with him. He genuinely, Nabi Isa. If you want to see the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jamal is Isa alayhi salam. Nabi Isa alayhi salam literally is a manifestation of God's beauty on earth in the way he was soft-hearted, in the way he sat with people who had diseases, in the way he smiled with people. They used to love sitting with him, learning from his example. Hence, because of the hiwar, you know, sometimes in Arabic, discussion can come from kalam, jidal, hiwar. Some of it is negative, some of it is positive. But these people, the disciples, were known as the hawari. Why? Because they love discussion. The best thing for a disciple is to love sitting with their teacher, learning from their teacher, looking at the example of their teacher. Therefore, these had reached such a level within their lives alongside Nabi Isa alayhi salam that when he asked them, "Man ansari ilallah," who are my supporters on the path of Allah? They replied, "Nahnu ansarullah." In the Quran, if you look in Surah As-Saff, for example, verse 14, you'll see that they're the ones who are saying, "We are your helpers," because you know Christians are sometimes known as Nasara. Nasara is either because they came from a town that had that name, or because they gave help. Nusrat. Nasara. They gave help towards who? Towards the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do that, Allah begins to inspire you. And that's why the Quran mentions something interesting, which has raised the question. Were these people prophets or not? Someone says, what do you mean they're prophets? If Jesus is there, they're his disciples. They can't be prophets. But we know that one time you can have more than one prophet living. Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael. You can have more than one prophet living. Musa, Harun, Yusha bin Nun. You can have more than one prophet living. Is there a possibility? There were some argued that they must be, because in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِي. Allah said, وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى who? الْحَوَارِيِّينَ. Hold on, it doesn't say, وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّينَ. وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الرُّسُلِ وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ. I have revealed to the wahi. Wahi normally indicates prophethood. No, not only. Sometimes wahi in the form of revelation is only prophets, nobody else. The messengers of Allah receive wahi. No one else can receive revelation in the sense of a message except the prophets. But inspiration in the form of ilham can be given to a lady like Musa's mother, alayhi salam. Musa's mom, when the Quran said, wa awhayna ila ummi Musa. Musa's mom, is she a prophet? No. But the Quran said, we revealed to the mother of Musa. Revealed what? What is this form of inspiration? That is a form where Allah directly sends you a message which silently gives you the certainty that it has come from the Lord. None can get in its way. No jinn can get in its way of blocking it. No one can get, no shaitan can whisper against it. The heart has reached such a level of purity that when Allah sends it, you recognize it straight away. Yes. If you are someone who's looked to support the message of God, it can happen to you. Someone says, wait, so you're telling me even me living in 2022, why not? If shaitan can whisper bad into you, why can Allah not send someone who whispers good into you? وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ means that the hawariyin, at least some of them, were inspired with ilham. If the disciples of Jesus could be inspired by ilham, are you telling me the imams of Al Muhammad could not be? You tell me that those who are disciples of Isa alayhi salam, they were inspired when the Quran said, وَأَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِي وَبِرَسُولِي. Believe in me and believe in who? In my messenger. They turn around and said, قَالُوا آمَنَّا. We believe. So how does that happen? They recognize at that moment that an inspiration has come from the Lord. Believe in this man. Don't let him down. Don't skank him. Don't backstab him. Believe in him. Could all of them have believed in him? Possibly. All of them at one point have believed in him. They've recognized him. Then someone says, well, if all of them believed in him, why do they then ask, can God send us down food from heaven? The whole of Surah 5 is called Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ma'idah means a table spread. Yes. Med is the idea of something which is spread. So when it's got food on it, It's called a table spread. A ma'idah otherwise does not exist unless there is food on it. In Surah 5, and all of you at home, I open the Quran in this month, Surah 5 from verse 109 until about 114, you'll see that they ask, can God send down food for us from heaven? And Nabi Isa alayhi salam, there's a certain anger in him because he's looking at them thinking, hold on a minute, you're my backbone. You're meant to be the loyal ones with me. Do you have a doubt? They reply with something interesting. They want an increase in their yaqeen, in their itmi'nan, in their certainty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this there's nothing wrong with, my dear brothers and sisters, wherever you may be. Sometimes spirituality, whoever you may be, goes peaks and troughs. Sometimes you wake up one morning, you have unbelievable itmi'nan. Your heart is ready for anything. Sometimes you wake up one morning and you have 100 doubts. Sometimes you wake up one day, you want to pray. Sometimes you wake up one day, you're not even feeling salah. Even the disciples of a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to see something which they know, but they now want to see. Remember when Abraham asked about raising the dead and making them alive? Do you not believe? He said, no, I want to see. I want that increase in certainty. Same with them. They asked for an increase in certainty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give them that guidance. Of course, there's another opinion. The other opinion is that when they said that we believe in you, that's when they said we believe in you, that's when they then asked, as a reward for our belief in you, do you mind if we get food from Jannah rather than food from the local takeaway? And that's not the worst request in the world. And Nabi Isa actually asks for it. Allahumma rabbana, anzul alayna ma'idatan min as-sama'i. تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا. The only time عيد is mentioned in the Quran. لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِنْكْ وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. If this food comes down and you people disbelieve in me, you'll be punished worse than anyone else. Because now I'm going to have a takeaway from Jannah being served on a plate for you. And the relationship between it and the Last Supper is one that requires an examination, I think. Was that the Last Supper? Was that when he sat with all of them before he left this world? Because here the Quran in Surah 5 has called it the table spread, Jesus and his disciples. And the Last Supper, the Holy Supper, is one of the biggest events in Christianity. That one requires its own discussion. So, were they all on the same level? I don't think so. I think there are some who needed to see God perform something more than what Jesus has already done. Jesus has already cured the blind. That should be enough for you. Cured the leper, enough for you. Walked on water, should be enough for you. Raised the dead and make them, should be enough. But subhanallah, in life, you'll find however many signs Allah throws the human, they'll still say, but I'm not sure whether God exists. All these different creations and these different colors and these different fishes and animals and all of these different islands and all these different countries, all these different colors, and still you'll find someone saying, accident, I think. It all came by an accident. It was just an accident. Some proteins and amino acids just reacted in the right way that day. So you found here that these disciples, what was their role? The role of these disciples was to go out and to spread the good news. Someone says, what's this good news? You always say the evangel or the injil. The good news is that there was a lost sheep of the children of Israel, and that the Romans had gone into pagan worship. There were lost sheep of the children of Israel. The good news was meant to guide a lot of these lost sheep. In Surah Yasin, the guidance is shown. Many of us would have recited Surah Yasin week in, week out. But how many of us have thought of Jesus' disciples within the Surah? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Give them the example of the people of that city when our messengers were sent to them. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهُمْ اثْنَيْنِ. We sent to them two messengers. What is the story? When Jesus' disciples would be sent out, they would go to give tabligh in different areas. Areas which had been affected by shirk or pagan ideologies, where they felt that the people were good enough to take on the message. Not through ikrah, not through compulsion. I'm not going to go to a town and compel people to follow Islam or to follow Christianity. No. But to come and tell them the good news that Jesus has come with and that John the Baptist has come with. Because John the Baptist is fundamental for these disciples. Who does the Quran say? وَإِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهُمُ اثْنَيْنِ. We sent two disciples, possibly John and Paul, were of the disciples that were sent. Different opinions are given. They went towards the area. They started to spread the message straight away. People were like, we don't like these people because they're changing our minds. They're bursting our bubbles. And the human being hates it if someone comes and begins to burst their bubble. The human is always comfortable in their cultural zone. Don't get them out of that zone. Keep me in my bubble. Don't bring new thoughts. These disciples were telling them, how could you worship these idols? What is this? Because Romans had how many gods? And at that time, you know, you had people a few hundred years after Nabi Isa alayhi salam, you know, the Germans are sacrificing to Odin. And you had, for example, the Italians were sacrificing to Saturn, the planet. So these people were coming to them and they were saying to them, Baba, we are coming here as messengers. And they replied back to them, said, we don't know anything about you guys. Inna tatayyadna bikum. You know, tatayyadna, you know what that means? Tatayyadna is like, you are an omen for us, a bad omen. At-tatayyur was this idea of a very bad omen. You've come into our town, you too. Who are you to come and change our belief system? We're happy with what we believe. وَإِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهُمْ اثْنَيْنِ. You know what they've done to these disciples? They put the disciples of Jesus in prison. Now, when I say it, they put in prison, people are just like, okay, they put in prison. In those days, it was normal to torture the living daylights out of somebody. These disciples of Nabi Isa alayhi salam were tortured profusely. The Quran said, وَإِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهُمْ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. They belied the two of them. كذب, lying. They belied the two of them. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثِ. So we sent a third disciple, but now with a different strategy. The first two came out. They said, we believe in God. Jesus is the one who God has sent. The third one came. He was Simon, Shamon. In Shi'i traditions, the most revered disciple for us is Simon. Yeah, Shamon. He came with a different strategy. What is it? He came with a strategy that I will get close to the king. No need for me to preach straight away. Let me get diplomatically, politically close to the king. After he politically got close to the king, what did he then do? After he got close to the king, he said to him, what's going on? I heard you got a couple people in there in prison. He goes, yeah, they came, they tried to change our thinking. He said, anything special about them? He goes, you know what? They claim that they've come on behalf of the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. That's all I see. Nothing more. He said, well, what is it that they claim that they're able to do? He said, they claim that they're able to, for example, raise the dead and make them alive. They claim that they're able to cure the blind, raise the dead, cure the leper. Simon looked at him and said, what if they can? He's like, nah, there's no way they can. This is nonsense. No one can do it. He said, well, do you have anyone blind in your community? He said, yeah, we have someone. I know someone very close who's blind. He said, well, why not go to those two and tell them that this person is blind? If you claim you've come from Jesus alayhi salam and that you're his disciples, then cure him. And this is a major question. How they cure this person highlights whether they are messengers or just disciples. A big question. Can a person who's a disciple of a prophet achieve karamat like this? This can be associated with imama as well. So what happens? When they bring these, they bring them. They're imprisoned, the two disciples of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Cure this blind person. The blind person suddenly can see. The king's like, hold on a minute. If you guys can do one more thing, I'll let you out. What is it? I have a son who died. I want to see my son. They said, we can raise the dead and make them alive. He said, do it. They said, but with God's permission. Not with a pagan or idol god. With God's permission, we're able to raise the dead and make them alive. And by the way, everybody at this time is mocking them. Ja'a rajulun min aqsa al-madinati. Yes. جاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا. A man came from the furthest part of the city. He said, follow these messengers. Wallah al-Azim, they're not asking nothing from you. They've just come with good news. They just want to bring you onto the path of God. His name was Habib ibn Najjar. He was stoned to death because of the people's antics. But when Simon said to the king, if they raise your dead son and make him alive, will you believe? The king said, I'll believe and I'll release all of them. And they were able to raise the dead son of that king. And so you found that unfortunately that Habib al-Najjar who had gone and spoken out, جَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وإليه ترجعون. أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. See all these ayahs in Surah Yasin describe the way he talked to them. Why wouldn't I follow the one who has created me perfectly and to him I return? Why would I seek the intercession of these idols when they can do nothing for me while the merciful is there? So you found therefore that these disciples for Nabi Isa were ready to lose their heads for Nabi Isa, ready to lose their limbs for Nabi Isa, ready to be sawed. If you Google the disciples of Jesus, look at the way each one of them died, I can guarantee you that barring Judas Iscariot and barring one other one of the disciples, the rest of them either were crucified or beheaded. It showed you a number of things. What is it? Number one, how disciples of a prophet or an imam can reach a level where they're ready to give everything away for that particular personality. That's number one. Number two, that the disciples are not all the same level. The fact that Judas was the one who backstabbed Nabi Isa alayhi salam, which I'll come to when I have my lecture on whether Jesus was crucified according to the Quran or not. Judas backstabbed, and he's one of the disciples. It highlights that someone can be very close to a prophet and turn out to be the biggest munafiq. Someone can be so close to a prophet and turn out to be the biggest backstabber. And I'll come to that in my discussion of backstabbing a prophet before you want to kill him and how you go about it. I'll come to that when I talk about crucifixion. Number two, number three, you find that amongst these, therefore, they had been on different levels, but not each one of them was ready. This is an important hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq asked, what's the difference between the disciples of Nabi Isa and, for example, the disciples of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt? He says the disciples of Jesus weren't ready to be there and stand up for him at every time the Jews attacked him, whereas ours are ready at all the time. Look at the difference between the two. Nabi Isa alayhi salam's disciples were ready to lose their lives, but there were certain situations where Isa wanted more from them. Of course, by the way, let's make something clear. The disciples, the way the Christians depict them and the way we Muslims depict them is completely different. You know, you look in the Bible, you see Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And when you see Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, for us, for example, where are the words written about these disciples that I've mentioned? The words are normally written in the Acts of the Apostles. But the Acts of the Apostles is the composition of Luke. It's not the actual sermons of the disciples. For me, the disciples were Jewish. Jewish in the sense of that time, of course. They were believers in one God. And the clearest proof that there was differences in the church between the teachings of the original disciples and what Christianity became is when Paul, in his second letter to Corinthians, makes it clear there are people from different opinions entering the territory of the church. Meaning that people like Peter and people like Paul, completely opposite opinions about God. Paul became the most important person in Christianity, higher than the other disciples. Suddenly everything, half of the New Testament is Paul. Baba, what happened to the 12 disciples? How is it that Paul's Christianity suddenly becomes the most important? In the Bible, what do I have from the disciples? At most, maybe Peter, one of his works at most is taken, and not the pseudo work which we see in the second one. So now, when you therefore see this, you see Nabi Isa alayhi salam, 12 disciples. They were the Hawari of Nabi Isa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Did he have Hawari? Yes. In the Sunni world, who is the disciple, the Hawari of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Zubair. It's seen as the disciple of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. You know Talha and Zubair from the Battle of Jamal? They say because of Zubair's bravery when he went to the Jews of Banu Qurayza, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is narrated to have said, for every prophet there is a disciple, and mine is Zubair. That's in the Sunni world. In the Shi'i world, who are Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi's Hawari? They are Salman, Abu Dhar, and Miqdad. Three. These three, what is the difference between them and the Hawari of Nabi Isa? Hawari of Nabi Isa, not every time he needed them, they were there necessarily to stand up for him. And we will see this in the crucifixion, that some of them begin to show that I don't really know him. Do I know him? There's a state of fear. Salman, Abu Dhar, and Miqdad. Especially Miqdad. Never once in his life did he waver in his support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Even when the battles of Islam like Badr were about to happen and you had companions who were like, are we really going to win Badr? There's so many of them, there's a few of us. Miqdad's like, what are you talking about? I'll go into the sea for Rasulullah and not be like the Jews who said to Moses, go you and your Lord. Miqdad, Salman, Abu Dhar were the Hawari of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Like the Hawari of Isa, no, greater, because they gave everything. Someone says, why not Ammar bin Yasir? Ammar bin Yasir, with his great position, which someone like me isn't even worthy of talking about, a couple of times the odd doubt had come into his mind in terms of certain decisions after the Prophet died, which he then, of course, managed to make amends for with his Shahada at the Battle of Safin. No doubt, no doubt. But we said the Hawari have levels. The levels of Salman, Abu Dhar, Miqdad, Ammar does not come near. Those levels are the highest. And that's why the question then arises. If Jesus had disciples, did Imam Ali have? Yes. Who are the four disciples of Imam Ali? On the day of judgment, the hadith says, there will be a caller who will call out, where are the disciples of Ali, son of Abu Talib? Where are the Hawari of Ali? Then four stand up. Who are those four? The first of them, Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i. That's the first of the disciples of Imam Ali, meaning these are the ones till death, they were ready to give all their limbs for their love for Amir al-Mu'mineen. They had mastered the knowledge they had given them. They had spread that knowledge. The first of them, Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i. Because if you ask most Shia, name me Ali's greatest companions, you'll name Malik al-Ashtar. And Imam Ali says, Malik is to me like I was. But he's not in the disciples. Not in the list of the disciples. You ask Moshia, Kumail bin Ziyad, not in the list of disciples. Asbagh bin Nubat, not in the list of the disciples. Great personalities, not in the list of the Hawari. The Hawari, the first of them, Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i. Amr bin Hamaq, one day when he supplied water to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, while he was young, the Prophet prayed, Ya Allah, give him old age, make him young even in his old age, keep his youth for him. This was a man who had been loyal to Ahlul Bayt in all their trials and tribulations. Jamal, frontline. Safin, frontline. Nahrawan, frontline. No one could penetrate Amr bin Hamaq. He was there at the front. His wife, Amina, fervent lover of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. Amr bin Hamaq, memorizer of the Holy Quran, supporter of Ahlul Bayt, first to speak out against Uthman and the government of the time, and the nepotism where the Umayyads were finding themselves back into the Islamic fold. And because of him speaking out, and because of him being loyal to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, it led to his martyrdom. Ziyad accused Amr, because you know these companions of Mawla could not take how Mawla was being cursed on the minbar. They were doing la'na on Mawla on the minbar. Amr spoke out. Ziyad, what do you do in any country when you have a political enemy? You charge them with blasphemy. You say this person committed blasphemy. They captured Amr, the first head in Islam to be paraded on a spear in public was Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i, killed by Muawiyah and his henchmen. Before that in Islam, we never had this idea where you put a head on a spear and parade it in public. The first was Amr bin Hamaq and his wife Amina. They tortured her as well because of their love for Amir al-Mu'mineen. On the day of judgment, the caller will call out, where are the disciples of Ali, son of Abu Talib? The wasi of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the first to stand up, Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i. Number one. Number two, Muhammad, son of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr had a son by the name of Muhammad from his wife, Asma bint Umayyis. When Asma married Imam Ali alayhi salam, Muhammad was a few years of age. Muhammad was raised by who? Was raised by Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muhammad's loyalty was only to Abu Turab, nobody else. He gave his whole life. People sometimes say, but you know, I have to follow my father's way. This is my dad. No, you don't. He could have followed his dad's way. He was loyal only to Abu Turab. And he was loyal to Abu Turab against his own sister. That on the battle of Jamal, he made it clear, you and me come from the same father. There's no doubt. But I'm with Abu Turab. That's my real master. You could follow who you want. He is the one who held his sister when she fell from the camel. When she called out, don't touch my body. This is the body of the wife of Rasulullah. He said, I'm your brother holding you. The only man who could hold her on that battlefield, who's mahram to her. Muhammad bin Abu Bakr, loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib. was a person who done tabarra from the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, eventually killed by the soldiers of Muawiyah again. When he was killed, they then placed his body in a dead donkey, and then they stitched up the donkey and burnt it. As you do as human beings. But what do I expect? The son of a cannibal remains an animal. So that's number two. Number three, what do we have? Number three, we have of the third of these was Uwais al-Qarani. Uwais. Never met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when he knew Uwais had come to Medina, he said, I smell the fragrance of Jannah. Has Uwais al-Qarani been here? Many non-Shia praise Uwais al-Qarani. Ask them, how did he die? What, does history stop at Saqifa? History stopped? That's it. History has a pause. You know, you pause this TV screen. Pause. Bilal, pause. Khuzaym ibn Thabit, pause. Abu Dhar, pause. Even Zubair, you say he's one of the Hawari of Rasulullah. Why do you pause? Tell me, and Jamal, what happened to him? We're running away? Pause. Uwais al-Qarani, ask non-Shia. What do you think? Uwais, mashallah. Obedient to his mom, mashallah. Amazing. Sahabi, but he never met Rasulullah, but he's great, great dad. Uwais al-Qarani died standing in front of Muawiyah and the animals that surrounded Muawiyah. Uwais al-Qarani stood up in the battle of Saffin alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he died as a shaheed alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam. And where is he buried? In Raqqa, where all ISIS and all of them are. They bombed his shrine. Yeah, but what do you expect? Baba, lineages of cannibals. What do you expect? So now you have number three, Uwais al-Qarani. And then number four, who's the fourth disciple? Maytham al-Tammar. Yes, Maytham, the son of Yahya Tammar, the Mawla of Bani Asad. Look on Qiyamah. These four are the ones who are told, get up. They, where are the disciples of Ali? And they get up one by one. They are the Hawari of Ali. What do you say about Maytham? Reading Fada'il of Ali ibn Abi Talib while you know your tongue's about to be cut. Who can reach that level? Why are they higher than Jesus' disciples? Because of the fact they were there for their master at every time. No backstabbing, no disloyalty. If their master was dead or their master was alive, they will never accept an attack on him. Never. How dare you insult Amir? You think I will stop reciting the Fada'il of Imam Ali, may them said? Ibn Ziyad said, I'll cut your tongue. He said, my master said that. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to keep reciting. Do it, please. So my master's proved right. And Ibn Ziyad said, then I won't. I'll prove him wrong until the Fada'il got too much. The Fada'il got too much. Imagine they put a spear through him and cut his tongue. Maytham al-Tammar. Because he highlighted to all of us, you can never, ever in your life praise Amir al-Mu'mineen enough. There is no point to living if we never had Ali ibn Abi Talib in our life. Believe you me. What else can you have? The only man who embodied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi's essence and character is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. In every aspect of his life. And that's why people like the Christians adore him. Hindus write poetry about him. And people like these disciples gave their lives away for him. On a night like this, the night of the 20th of Shahar Ramadan, it breaks our hearts. Why? People normally do 19, they jump to 21. The mosque is full on 19, the mosque is full on 21, on 20, the numbers go down. But that's because of a lack of reflection. If your father, I ask each of you, was injured, bleeding, the cut has gone so deep, I ask each and every one of you, would you find it normal to not honor your father on such a night? Injured. To an extent, the injury went so far that the doctor turned round towards Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam. And he said to them that this is going to be the last night for him. He is going to return to his Lord very soon because this injury is too deep. Remember, he was hit in exactly the same place that Amr ibn Awd hit him at Khandaq. So already there was a cut, and Ibn Muljam al-Shaytan went even deeper in that cut. The moment the doctor said that, to Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, they were broken, especially Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam al-Husayn found it very difficult to hear that news, like all of us would find it difficult if we're hearing that our father is in his last moments. How difficult would it be for all of us? Wallah. But you found that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was inconsolable. He was the one who came near his father, and he lay near his father, and the tears began to trickle from the eyes of Abu Abdullah. His father could tell that Husayn was not in the right state. He could tell Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was broken. So his father said, Husayn, come near me. When Imam al-Husayn came near his father, the narrations mention that his father placed his hands on the heart of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. His father placed his hands on the heart of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam al-Husayn at that moment was able to look his father in his eyes. He said to his father, what is my life without you, O father? Imagine for Imam al-Husayn, he had lost his mother already, and now his father who meant everything to him. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam placed his hand on the heart of Abu Abdullah. When he placed it, the Imam felt at peace. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and Imam al-Hasan, both of them were crying next to one another. When Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen saw both of them crying, he said to the both of them, he said, both of you try and remain calm. Imam himself tried to remain calm. But when the Imam saw Zainab alayhi salam crying, at that moment the Imam began to cry himself. Imagine Imam Ali sees Hassan and Hussein crying, but he doesn't cry. But when he saw Zainab alayhi salam crying, the Imam himself began to cry. Zainab, Zainab, my dear, come next to me, Zainab. It's as if he knew there'd be a day where Zainab would be alone. Alone on the plains of Karbala, calling out, wa Sayyida, wa Aliya, wa Shahida. He called Zainab alayhi salam, he called Kulthum, both of them came near him. Now the family were all around him. The companions on that night, who was there? By that time, Muhammad bin Abu Bakr had already died. And you found, for example, amongst the others who had already died, there were many others of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen who had passed away. Uwais al-Qarani had passed away. But at that time, who was still alive? Maytham al-Tammar was still alive and he was there. Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i was still alive and he was there. Hujr bin Adi al-Kindi was still alive and he was there. Al-Asbagh bin Nubata was still alive and he was there. They came, all of them, one by one, after the family had left the Imam. As you do, you come as the companions and the disciples of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. You come and you bid farewell to your Mawla. They came, they sat next to their Mawla, crying one next to the other. The Imam asked each of them, he said, remain patient in this time. Some of them were inconsolable. The Imam turned to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. He said, oh my son Hassan, tell them they may leave, they may return back to their families. Imam al-Hassan looked at each of them. He said, you can leave now, leave my father. It was very hard to pick up some of them. Some of them never wanted to leave. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, ya Mawlai, some of us visit you in Najaf. We've never seen you, and it's hard for us to leave the land of Najaf and to leave your dhari'. How hard must it have been for those who have seen you to see you injured in this way on the night of the 20th of Shah Ramadan. For all of you at home who wish you could be in Najaf at this moment, your tears count for your presence in Najaf. When they left, they all left. Imam Hassan was next to Imam Ali. Suddenly Imam Ali turned to Imam al-Hassan. He said to him, Hassan, my son, I hear someone is outside. He's still crying. Imam al-Hassan went outside. He opened the door door. He saw Al-Asbagh bin Nabat sitting by the door. Imam Al-Hasan said to him, Al-Asbagh, why don't you leave? He said, I find it hard to leave Amir al-Mu'mineen. How can I return to my house and my Mawla lies injured on his bed? Imam Al-Hasan heard Imam Ali. Imam Ali said, let him come. Let him come back inside. Al-Asbagh came back inside. He sat near the bed of Imam Ali. This conversation I recited every year. Wallah, it breaks the heart. Imam Ali looked towards Al-Asbagh. He said to him, Al-Asbagh, do not worry. Jannah awaits. You can calm down. Al-Asbagh replied, my master, I know that Jannah awaits you. I cry not because I have any doubts about that. Rather, I cry because how will I live in a world separated from you? How can I live on this earth and my master's no longer with me? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Amir al-Mu'mineen. وسيد الوصيين. Ya Allah, raise us with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst the disciples of Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Ya Allah, allow us to perform the ziyarah of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the land of Najaf and to receive his shafa'ah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have many in our communities from the Muwaleen who are lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, who are facing difficulties in their life. Let's all recite the ayah of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. All together at home, on this particular moments, this moments, these are the most important moments. You come to these nights, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's come together on these nights. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ. Allow us to be amongst the zuwar of the land of Najaf, Ya Allah, and to receive the shafa'ah of Muhammad and Al Muhammad, Ya Allah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al-Fatiha before we welcome our dear Nuha Khan Al-Hajj Sayyid Muzammil Rizvi with the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli.
Noha kunahe Zainab Muzitar علی کے بعد نوحہ گناہ زینب مضطر علی کے بعد کوہرام ہے بپا گھر گھر علی کے بعد کوہرام ہے بچا ہوا گھر گھر علی کے بعد نوحہ گناہ زینب مضطر علی کے بعد محراب غم زدہ ہے نمازی کدھر گیا محراب غم زدہ ہے نمازی کدھر گیا ویران ہے رسول کا ممبر علی کے بعد نوحہ کنا ہے زینب مضطر علی کے بعد شہزادی بن کے آئی تھی کوفے میں کل یہی شہزادی بن کے آئی تھی کوفے میں کل یہی در در پھری ہے زینب مضطر علی کے بعد نوحہ کنا ہے زینب مضطر علی کے بعد کہ منظر ابھر کے آ گیا بازار شام کا منظر ابھر کے آ گیا بازار شام کا زینب کے سر سے جب گری چادر علی کے بعد نوحہ کنا ہے زینب مضطر علی کے بعد کہ اصغر ثنا نے حال بھی خون میں نہا گیا اصغر ثنا نے حال بھی خون میں نہا گیا کہ اجڑا ہے اس طرح سے بھرا گھر علی کے بعد نوحہ کنا ہے زینب مضطر علی کے بعد ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن روتی ہے عذاب مسجد کوفہ بھی ہے گریان ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن کہ لو آج سے آغاز ہوا کرب و بلا کا مخدوم کونین کا جاری ہوا گریا مرکد میں محمد بھی نظر آئے پریشان ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن کہ کیا زہر میں ڈوبی ہوئی شمشیر چلی ہے لو زخمی ہوا سجدے میں دامہ دینا بھی ہے دنیا سے چلا دے کھیے کعبے کا نگہبان ہے ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن کہ لو آج سے آغاز ہوا کرب و بلا کا مخدوم کونین کا جاری ہوا گریا کہ مرکد میں محمد بھی نظر آئے پریشان ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن کہ کعبے کی فصیلوں میں اداسی کی ردا ہے اور قبلہ اول میں بھی کہرام بپا ہے سرخد میں ہوا نے جنان کی آوریاں ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن کہ روتی ہے عذاب مسجد کوفہ بھی ہے گریان ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن کیا زہر میں ڈوبی ہوئی کیا زہر میں ڈوبی ہوئی شمشیر چلی ہے لو زخمی ہوا سجدے میں داماد نبی ہے دنیا سے چلا دیکھیے کعبے کان ہے وقت سحر خون میں تر وارث قرآن